stand and join us in worship. But I have a question. Did you put it all in? I'm not referring to money. Paul talks about his life being poured out as a drink offering. That coming to the end of his life, he had felt like he had poured it all out. He was all in. He had not wasted his gifts, his times, his talents, his resources, but he had faithfully and fully served the Lord. So as we worship, think about that. Is our glass still half full because we're reserving, or have we poured our entire offering out to the Lord? So sing with me.
Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are. chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Please be seated. And kind of a boring week. Nothing on television, nothing in politics, nothing in people's lives, nothing going on. Just one of those weeks. It's one of those weeks that makes you want to pray, doesn't it? So many people I know have been struggling with things this week. Bonnie, last night I had to take her over to urgent care because she has bronchitis or some kind of a lung infection, and so she's at home sleeping today. Patty Walton's in the hospital this week, continues to be. You can pray for her. Just a lot of people to pray for. And you can pray for our country because I think it might need it. This is week 4 of our prayer adventure. It is exciting, as I said earlier, to see that so many of you have taken this emphasis to heart, and I'm hearing stories about how God is moving and doing things in your life, and I'm excited about that. I hope you're praying, reading scripture every day if you can, or even if you are working up to that, I commend you for the effort, because I really encourage you to keep going, because I think it's going to change your life if you incorporate prayer as part of your life every day. Not only that, but it changes God's people, it changes God's church, it can change the country. It really can. I encourage you to take out your sermon notes today. We have sermon notes in each week during this this series, and they will help you to follow along and to get more out of what we're doing. And so they're in the bulletin. Let's pray before we get dug in here. Lord God, help us to understand more of your multidimensional nature. Teach us to be like you so that we don't live a one-dimensional life. We want a life that's deep and rich and meaningful with you at the center. Since the creation of the world, you have revealed yourself, Lord, and we ask that you do it again today, both in your word and in your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, what I'm going to say, this will mean nothing to you because it was from way back before you were born. But some of us older folks, do you remember a group by the name of the Fifth Dimension? Anybody remember that group? They had a lot of big hits back in the olden days when the dinosaurs were roaming. Stuff like Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. You remember that song? I remember a whole lot of their stuff, actually. Been going through some music lately. Wedding Bell Blues, Up, Up, and Away. I could just go on and on. The Fifth Dimension. I always thought that was a really strange name. Well, as it turns out, that they named themselves after a mathematical problem or after a mathematical theory, sort of. What they did was lifted this theory and they adopted it to the sort of the hippie generation and made it into something different. We'll talk about that as we go on here. Scientists explain dimensions in terms of a room. So let's take this room, for example. If you've got a single line, let's say we had a line drawn from one side of the room to the other, that's the first dimension, a line between two points. Well, let's add the floor underneath your feet. Now we got two dimensions. Let's add the pews and you folks who are sitting on the pews. Now we're in three dimensions. We've got height, we've got width, and we have depth. That's three dimensions, right? Some scientists, in fact, many scientists over the years have argued that the fourth dimension is time. But what's the fifth dimension? Well, it's interesting, I was reading about this week. According to some German scientists in the 1920s, they developed a theory that they call the fifth dimension. And basically, it's taking a lot of invisible forces that you can't see. It's taking things like gravity and electromagnetism and two kinds of nuclear forces, what they call strong and weak nuclear forces, and it kind of puts them all together into one theory. And it says that these things act together. And sometimes they push against each other, and sometimes they pull apart and go in opposite directions. If you've done any reading on time travel and such, then you would know that a lot of that theory is based on this fifth dimension theory. Have you ever felt like that, where you had felt like there were a lot of forces working in your life that you can't see, but they kind of feel like you're getting pulled apart? You feel like you're getting pulled in different directions. You feel like there's this invisible force is causing pressure in your life. Have you ever felt like that? I feel like that every day. Sometimes it just feels like all of life is working in some way against you, taking you in different directions. That's the world that we live in right now. This week is one of those weeks that felt like that. There are forces that we can't see, but the pressure, we can certainly feel the pressure, can't we? We can certainly feel the way they act. I think of gravity. You know, you can't see gravity, but you can feel the way that it pulls you. Today I want to introduce you to a different way to pray. It's a multidimensional way to pray. To pray in a way that helps us, I think, cope with that feeling of being pulled apart. That helps us to cope with a lot of life's challenges. And to live as a Christian in a hostile world. Certainly this world is hostile to many of our beliefs. Before we hit that, I want to review a couple of truths about God. The first thing I want to talk about God is that God is a multi-dimensional God. Think about you ever been to a 3D movie? You know, you put on the glasses and suddenly everything that was flat is now got dimension. It's got depth in it, and it seems more real because you put them on. I've been playing around a little bit with virtual reality. I have a headset, So far, I only own one program. It's a roller coaster program, and after about the third time, it gets old. But when you're put the goggles on, you can look around, and it looks like you're right there, like you're experiencing this roller coaster and going through it. Well, three dimensions. We see life in more than one flat dimension. We see it in multi-dimensions. Well, think of God that way. He's a multi-dimensional God. There's more than one aspect to God. And a lot of times we get stuck in a rut and we start thinking about God as only one way. He's only this way. And we limit God and we try to put God in a box. And that doesn't work. It's important to know this because your fulfillment in prayer and your fulfillment and your fruitfulness in prayer depends not so much on how much you know about prayer, but it depends on how much you know about God. The more you understand about God and what he's revealed about himself, I think the better your prayers are going to be and the more effective they're going to be and the more satisfying your prayer life is going to be. It's not about learning about prayer. That's important, but it's more important that you understand something of God. Well, there's a lot more to know about this God than he's the big guy in the sky. You know, there's a lot of dimensions to God. He reveals himself in a whole lot of different ways. If you've got your notes, you might want to write this down. First thing, we see God in creation. We see in God's creation that God is more than one thing, that he's multi-dimensional. Obviously, if you look around, you can see this amazing world that God created. You can see this gorgeous universe. Tonight's going to be a special night. It's going to be a super moon tonight, but then on top of that, there's a rocket being launched in Virginia, and if you check your newspaper, you'll be able to tell the time, and it tells you, it shows you in rings, in concentric rings, how many minutes from the launch to where we can see it here in this part of Pennsylvania, and so you should be able to see that tonight. I forget what time it is. I think it's after 8 o'clock, but it should be very visible in the sky. Well, you look at stuff like that, and I'm caught up in that. I'm amazed by that. I find God's creation to be something really special. Theologians call what we see in creation general revelation or natural revelation. You know, nature, you can connect it to that. The Bible says this about creation, about the things that we don't see and the things that we do see. It says, since creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen in what has been made, so that all men are without excuse. Without excuse in what? Well, there's no excuse for not following God. What about all those people who never read the Bible? What about all those folks? You know, they don't know about God. How do they know about God? Well, we can learn a great deal about God just by looking around ourselves, just by looking at nature, that God created it. For instance, we know that God likes variety, right? I mean, there's a ton of variety. I was watching a show last week, a nature show, and it was about a photographer who I was familiar with, and he's decided to go around the world and photograph the last of different species. And he has a room where he has put up pictures of the different species he's photographed. And the picture starts off small, where you see a group of about 12 butterflies. And then it pulls back, and then you see this larger group. And it just keeps pulling back and pulling back and pulling back until... And you see all these different varieties of butterflies. He has filmed all of these species. Do you know that there are more than 20,000 known species of butterflies alone? In fact, here in our part of North America, there are 750 species of butterfly, just in our part, in this northern part of North America. We know that God's organized. That's pretty obvious. We know that God is creative. We know that God likes biodiversity. I love my trips going out to Vancouver Island to see my family because there's all these different ecosystems that are all located in one spot. You know, we went out hiking the first time I went out there, And, you know, we went out to see the Harris Sitka spruce, one of the tallest trees in that part of the hemisphere. And then we were in old growth forest that was hundreds of years old. And then we hiked through the rainforest down to a marine preserve, and we watched the sea otters playing and looked at all the tidal pools. And then later in the afternoon, we went out to Spirit Bay and we watched the seals playing, you know. And all of this was within a couple of hours drive on one island in one place. The biodiversity that exists is massive. God has created so much in so many different places. We know that God is powerful. You know, you think of the thunderstorm, or you look at a meteorite shower, and you know that God is powerful. And we see diversity as we look at other people, right? Like, we are all different sizes and shapes and colors and customs and languages and cultures. And we see God revealed in that. We see God revealed in nature. So the Bible says we are without excuse for at least recognizing that there has to be a God and believing in the God that we understand at that level. To me, I think it takes a whole lot more faith to not believe in God than it does to believe in God. We see evidence of design everywhere we look, and so we know that there must be a designer. In Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, we have a conversation between Job and God. And Job has been complaining to God, and God says, hey, wait a minute, who's in charge here? I'm God, let me tell you a few things. And he says, can you fathom the limits and the bounds of the greatness and power of God? The sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond your reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you don't know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Whole dimensions that we don't know, but God knows. We also see God's multidimensional nature in the incarnation of Jesus. In other words, when God came to earth and became a human being, the incarnation means God became flesh. The Word became flesh, we read. If we look at John chapter 1, it says, the Word became a human being and lived among us. We saw his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. Now, this kind of blows my mind. The fact that God can be God, and God can come to earth and be a human, and do that at the same time, means that God is more than just one flat dimension. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means he existed before the incarnation, during the incarnation, and continues to exist. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4 says, grace and peace to you from him who is and was and who is to come. We talk about the eternity of God, that God is eternal. That's what we're talking about. God always existed, exists now, and will always exist. We also see this nature of God as we look at the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit move? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity of God, and yet one God. And here's it says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying here? He's saying you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. That the Holy Spirit, he chooses where he'll go. You know, a lot of times when we approach spiritual gifts, like in 1 Corinthians, and we start reading the list of gifts, and we start reading about what was going on in that Corinthian church, and sometimes we covet certain gifts. We look at certain gifts, and we think, those are the great gifts, and I really want that gift. But it's pretty clear in that passage, and it's pretty clear in this passage, that the Holy Spirit, he decides where he will go. He's the one in charge. He is God. And he doesn't just move in one place or one dimension. He moves all through our lives and a spiritual world that we can't even see. Down in Job, in chapter 9, in verse 10 and 11, it says, he does wonders that can't be understood. He does so many miracles, they can't be counted. When he passes me, I can't see him. And when he goes by me, I don't recognize him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God is multidimensional. There is much more to God than we can even begin to describe. So what's the main implication of this? Why are we talking about this morning? Well, there is a major implication, and that's this. Because God is multidimensional, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. Never, ever, ever alone. Because he's in every dimension. He's in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future. He's here, he's there, he's in heaven, he's on earth. He's in the spirit world, he's in our world. God is in every dimension all the time. He's in you and me, and he's everywhere else all at the same time. It's not a bunch of gods. It's one God that we know in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because God is in multi-dimensions, I am never alone. It's a great passage that comes from David. He writes, "Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I ever get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew way beyond the east or to the farthest place in the west, you'd be there too to lead me. You'd be there too to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but the darkness is not dark for you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you." In other words, you can't play hide and seek with God. There's no place you can go, there's no place you can hide that he can't find you. Everywhere you try to hide, he's already there. We're talking about the omnipresence of God. You know, we talk about that in theological terms. He is everywhere. Everywhere you've been, where you're at right now, and everywhere you're going to be, that's where God is. That should encourage you, because you are never going to be alone. Never. Now, let's turn this to prayer. Why are we talking about this, and how does this relate to prayer? Well, it has an awful lot to do with prayer, because it means that since God is everywhere and in every dimension, every place we could possibly be, you can talk to him anywhere you are about every dimension of your life, because he already understands it. He already understands what you're going through. All those forces you feel pulling on your life, all that stress, the tension, the fear, the hurt, the lost opportunities. He already knows all about those things, because he was there with you when you went through them. He saw them firsthand. And he knows where you are right now. And he knows where you're going and the things you're going to go through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's not just bad stuff. God sees the good things that are going to come into your life, the joys that are going to come, the things that are going to encourage you, the way that your life is going to be built up. You are never alone. So let's shift. Let's get into some more practical stuff and move from the left side of the page to the right side of the page, the front to the back of your notes. God is a multidimensional God, and certainly because of that, you don't want to be stuck in one-dimensional praying. That's praying sort of the same thing all the time in the same way, and not really looking at the breadth of God and how we can have a relationship with him on much greater levels. God is more than just a single point or a line between two points. God is so much more. We want your prayer life to have length and breadth and height, right? And more. So let me show you five dimensions of your life that you can pray about. This is not a formula that you have to use every time you pray. It's just another way of praying. You know, if you're looking for a fresh way to pray, this is a good way to start. Number one, the first dimension here, that when I pray, first I look backwards to the cross. It's an important place to start. It is the place to start, because it puts your spiritual life into perspective. It helps me to start with gratitude for what's happened in the past on my behalf. Focusing on the cross fills you with thanksgiving. When I think about Jesus dying for me on the cross, it instantly just takes me, you know, it fills me with gratitude. Reminds me of three things, and I wrote them in your outline this morning. First thing, reminds me of how deeply God loves me, how costly evil and sin is, and how completely I'm forgiven. Reminds you of how much God loves you, even though you, in your sins, were in a mess. God has completely forgiven you, completely. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says this, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Do you know how much something is worth? How you determine what something is worth? It's how much people are willing to pay for it. Isn't that true? Isn't that how the market is set? How much is your life worth? Think about what was paid for your life on the cross by Jesus. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of man could be adopted into God's family. Not so you would feel guilty and obliged to do something for him. He did it willingly, voluntarily, and he did it as an amazing act of love, and he loves you and me. Not just you as the church, but you as individuals. Every single one of you. He knows your name and your whole life. And he died for you. Thinking about just how much Jesus loves me and how much I'm forgiven is a good way to start in prayer. It's a good way to begin. So I start by looking back to the cross. The second thing, I look upward to my Father's loving face. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father. Who is this loving Father? God doesn't want you to see him as a dictator. He doesn't want you to see him as your boss. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, this is how you should pray. He said, you should call God Father. Well, we don't realize how radical that is. In the Old Testament, you only like two or three times do you ever see anybody refer to God as Father, because to most people in that era, God was distant. He wasn't all that personal. He wasn't all that involved in their lives. They could see that God did certain things, but they did not know him in a personal relationship. They didn't know who he was really. And that's one of the reasons Jesus came. He came to explain, this is what God is really like. This is who God really is. He may be a little different than what you think. When you pray, do you call God Father? Scripture tells us to. I find myself doing that more. And part of it, I think it comes back to relationship. It's not the generic God. You know, I used to always start with, well, hey, God, or Lord, you know, and he is Lord and he is God. But starting with Father somehow makes it more intimate, more personal. You know, and I know that not everybody had a great relationship with their fathers, but God is the perfect Father. He's the Father you should have had. He's the Father that is close and considerate. He's consistent. He's always there. He's compassionate. And he's always loving, and he's always looking out for you. And no matter how good a father might be, they are still imperfect when you compare them to God. How do you sign your letters? I, because of my position, I sometimes sign my letters Pastor John, or I sometimes call you on the phone, I'll say, hey, it's Pastor John. The reason I do that is just to try to differentiate between all the other Johns, since you know. But in a conversation, I hope that you just call me John. Why is that? Because we have a personal relationship, right? We're talking to one another. We know each other. We have the opportunity to just, you know, to kind of cut through certain lever. You know, like if you had a formal conversation, you use formal language and you stay distant. But when you're in a personal relationship, when that is a more intimate relationship, then you can kind of cut through so many layers of stuff. Well, in prayer, it's your Father that you're talking to, and He loves you. And the Bible says to call Him Father. In fact, Jesus uses the word Abba, which means daddy. In Romans 8, 15 and 17, or through 17, it says, you should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, thinking that God might beat you or something when you approach Him, since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. Instead, by His Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit affirms that we really are His children. And since we are now God's children, we are also heirs with Jesus, with Christ, and will share in both His suffering and in His glory. These verses are just jam-packed with life-giving truth. You know, if you want more verses to memorize, I know this is a long one, but it is an amazing one to memorize because it reminds you of who you are in Jesus and what your relationship with God is. As I said, whatever you think God is like determines how you pray. And if you think God is an uninterested creator, that He sort of created and just let things go, or if you think that He's an unpleasable deity, somebody you can't please no matter what, or an untouchable stranger or distant or whatever, if you think that of God, then your prayers are not really going to go very far in terms of connection, relationship, intimacy. It's not happening. Those prayers fall flat, don't they? We get bored when we think of God like that. And we don't feel of Him that He's very close. But when God tells you to call Him Daddy, it means that He wants your prayers to be personal. When you come and pray, your prayers don't have to be flowery or trendy or cool. It simply says that we should cry out to God. And so, therefore, our prayers have some passion to them. They're passionate. They're emotional because God Himself is emotional. He's a passionate creature. Not a creature, but He's a passionate person. And God wants our prayers to have that emotional connection because God created you in His image, and that's where we get our emotions. And the third thing is there is a partnership. It says, by His Spirit, we pray in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that when you pray, the Holy Spirit actually prays along with you? It says in Romans 8, 26, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We often don't even know how to pray as we should. And then it says that the Spirit intercedes. And some translations actually say the Spirit begs God on your behalf. That's amazing. And that happens every time you open your mouth to pray. Every single time. We don't know what to pray a lot of the time, but the Spirit knows what we need. And through Him, God hears your deepest need. Okay, number three, talking about this multidimensional thing. I look inward to Jesus living inside me. We've talked about looking backwards to the cross. We've talked about looking upward into God's loving face. Now we're talking about looking inward to the Jesus who lives inside of you. Well, why do we do this? Did you know that Jesus lives inside of you? That if you received Him as Lord and Savior, that through His Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus dwells within you. You know, we talk to our children when we're trying to explain it. You know, when my girls received Jesus, they talked about, I received Jesus into my heart. That's how they expressed it, you know? God lives inside of you if you have received Him as Lord and Savior. And the reason I'm bringing this up is sometimes we feel like God is so distant, that He's so far away, that when we're praying, it doesn't feel like He's there. But if we understand this truth, that for a Christian, God lives in your heart, that dwells within you. You understand just how close God is. You're never in a place where God isn't. And God is so close, He's right here. That's how close God is. And that's important. That affects how we pray, doesn't it? You might think about yourself, well, what about all this stuff that I have in here that doesn't mix with God, doesn't work well with the Holy Spirit, you know, my bad attitudes, my secret sins, my compulsions, all my fear, all those really painful memories, the resentful thoughts that I have, the unforgiveness that I hold on to. What about all that stuff? How does that mix with this God who lives inside of me? Here's a way to approach that in prayer. I think you can say, Father, there is some stuff inside me that doesn't belong if I'm going to live like Jesus. I don't even know how to clear it all out of me. And it's in there with you, so I'm going to ask you to help me do some house cleaning. This is that third dimension in prayer. 2 Corinthians says, examine yourself to see if your faith is real and growing. Test yourself. Remember that Jesus is living in you unless you failed your test. What does he mean, failed your test? It means unless if you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior. I look inward and I ask Jesus to show me what needs to change. And I know how uncomfortable that can be. I know how painful that can be. But it says the truth will set you free. If you confess it, if you confess your sins and reject it, that's the word repentance, turning away from it, then you will receive mercy and you'll get another chance because we serve the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and on and on. Where do you start with this? Well, you might start with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Galatians chapter 5, if you look at the list of the nine fruit there, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I'd like all of those things in my life. Wouldn't you? I don't think there's anything on that list I don't want in my life. So that's a good place to start when we're doing the house cleaning, right? I think we can start with this prayer. Jesus, produce the fruit of the Spirit in me today, starting right now. That's a great place to start when you're doing house cleaning. The fruit of the Spirit is a perfect picture of Jesus. Okay, we got to rush through these. Number 4, I did backward look at the cross. I looked upward at the Father's face. I looked inward at myself and Jesus. The fourth dimension of this is I look around and I ask the Holy Spirit to use me. We sang about that this morning. Right? To be used of God. I dare you to pray that prayer and mean it. Because when you pray, God, use me, he will. And you'll find that that realm, working in the Spirit, doing the will of God, doing what you're supposed to be doing, what he tells you to do, being obedient, that is one of the greatest feelings in your whole life. It's just an amazing feeling. The world is waiting for us to ask this of God. I think we say, Holy Spirit, show me where you want to use me today. What do you want me to do today? And I'm not, don't make it a distant thing. Don't make it eventually. It's today. Start today. You know, this has been a rough week, you know, in terms of our nation and other things. And let me suggest to you, instead of criticizing the world, complaining about the government of the world, or judging the world, or Facebooking about what's wrong with the world, why don't you say, Holy Spirit, show me what's wrong and show me how I can make a difference. What's your part in it? What's my part in it? You know, I can complain better than most of them. Or I could pray, God, show me how to change this, how to be a change agent, how to be the person making something happen. Romans 6:13 says, give yourself completely to God, every part of you. Since you've been given a new life and you want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for his good purposes. That banner up there, where it is, ministry down here on the end, that's what that's all about, being used of God to do things in this world that God would have us do, the things that he would do. He wants to do it through us. I think it's really cool when you're in the middle of that, you can sometimes, you find yourself saying something like, wow, I think I was made for this. I think God created me just for this. You know, there's that feeling. And I think there's more to it than that. But I think we sometimes have that feeling. So we look backwards to the cross, upwards to the Father, inward for examination and to communicate with Christ in us, around to the world and say, Lord, where can you use me today? I love that saying we had up on the wall here during our missions conference this last year, and there are variations of it from Mother Teresa, who just simply said, stop trying to do something great with your life. Just do normal things with huge amounts of love, and God will bless that. That's how we start ministry. One final thing, and that's this fifth dimension. I look forward to my future in faith. This is the stuff that God wants you to talk to him about. Talk to him about the future. Any parent loves to hear a child talk about their dreams. Any good parent. And God is the good, good Father that we've been talking about. God wants to hear your plans. He wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to hear your ideas. He wants to hear your dreams, your short-term vision, your long-term vision. He wants to hear it all. Take it all and put it in front of God. And talk to him about it. Talk to the Father, talk to the Son, talk to the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. You can talk to each of them, you can talk to all of them, you can talk to God. And ask them to speak wisdom into your life, especially as you look at the future. Philippians 1:6, favorite verse, one of my favorites. I am confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. I have been asking people lately, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Maybe I've asked you this question recently, because it's been one that I've been asking myself. It's one that's really kind of hanging over my head. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, it really doesn't matter. Whatever's rest, the rest of your life is, God can use you and do good things. Pray, ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where are you going to take me? What's my future going to look like? It says, God began a good work in you. He's going to finish it. He's going to keep going with you. He's not done with you yet. He's transforming you. And there's no greater way to see transformation than in ministry, in active ministry. Make your relationship with God real. Don't, you know, come to God and, you know, sort of act the way you're supposed to act and talk the way you're supposed to talk, or, you know, flowery prayers and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've often gone back to when I had a parachute malfunction, you know, and my parachute failed to open correctly, and I was spinning towards the ground, and I had to cut away, and I dropped back in and opened the second parachute, and my prayer was not a really flowery King James prayer. It was, help me, Jesus! That was it. And when we go to God, we can be that real. And just talk to God. Just speak to him. Be real with him. Be honest. So, look back to the cross. Look up to the Father's face. Look in and talk to Jesus and surrender those things that need change to him. Look around and see where God wants you to serve. And look forward and ask God what's next. And see where he might be calling you. You might be surprised by where he's calling you. This is fifth dimension prayer. Just another way to pray. It's a way to freshen up your prayer life. You can actually take the sermon notes home, and as you go through your prayer, you can walk through each step and pray about those things in your life and see where God takes you. Let's pray. Father God, we want to look where you would have us look. Help us to see what you would have us see. Lord, we thank you for the cross of Christ and everything that means in our lives and in the world around us. We seek your face. And Lord, we see how loving you are. You love us no matter what. We experience Jesus living inside of us through your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord Jesus, if you would do a makeover in us, change what needs to be changed, strengthen what needs to be strengthened, get rid of what needs to be gotten rid of, make my life fruitful with spiritual fruit, and use me, Lord. Let what's left of the rest of my life be useful, even in the normal everyday stuff. Show me how I can serve you, and give me the strength to do it. We put our futures in your hands, Lord, knowing that you might return even today, even this afternoon. We share our hopes and our dreams with you, and we ask you to make your hopes and dreams for us a reality. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us?